But it comes back. I was just at breakfast the other week, Scott knows, over at Original Pancake, and I was having breakfast with this guy, and we were working through some stuff. And well, after breakfast, the waitress came by, and I said, could I get the check? She said, oh, there was a man sitting right over here that was listening to you, and he asked if he could pick up your tab. And I thought, wow, if I would have known that, I would have ordered more.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday we began a message where we learned that when we give, we honor God. Well, today Pastor Wayne will take it a step further and show us that when we give, we not only bless others, we bless ourselves. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, a generous God.
You see, when you give, you honor God. But number two, would you write down, not only does it honor God and bless God, but when we give, it blesses others. It blesses others. When that boy gave his bread and fish, it allowed 5,000 people to eat, and they became a part of a miracle. You think it blessed those people? You see this pattern all throughout the New Testament. Let's read in the book of Acts. The scripture comes up here. Let's read it. Go. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. You see, generosity blesses others. I'm going to do an exercise with you. Ready? Think with me over the last year, 2, 6, 10 years, when someone blessed you with a gift. Oh, it could have been money, or it could have been help, it could have been attention, it could have been assistance, it could have come from a brother, a spouse, a friend, a child. Someone gave you something, someone blessed you with something. It could have been a word of encouragement when you needed it the most, but they gifted you. Think of that time. How did it make you feel? Generosity blesses people more than you'll ever realize. When I was 31 years old, Anna and I heard God say that we were to go to the Big Island and pioneer some ministries there. We had nothing. I was a youth pastor, and we didn't have anything, but I knew God was telling us to go. So we sold everything that we could, made about $3,000, $2,000 from these garage sales. But that's all we had, enough to send what meager possessions we had over. But yet we had to buy tickets to get over there and then something to live on. One day, a friend of mine, elderly gentleman, had called me up and said, let's have lunch. And he said, Wayne, I heard that you're leaving. And at that time, I was in Youth for Christ and working with kids, and I said, yeah. He said, well, we'll miss you. How are you going to live? I don't know. It's a real small church, 27 people, but we really feel God's calling us to go. He said, well, what are you going to live on? I said, I don't know. He said, do you have tickets? I said, I just have enough for one ticket. You know, I got two kids, and I got enough for one ticket. I'd really like my wife to come. My kids, I don't really care about, but my... I could get my wife to come. We could have more kids later. And so I said, wait, that's all we got. So he said, let's have lunch tomorrow. I said, okay, because he bought lunch. I thought, free lunch again. So that's cool. Second verse, same as the first. So I met with him the next day, and we sat down, and this is a true story. He slid an envelope over to me, and he said, here, this should help. And in it was enough. It was nearly $40,000. And that's what we did. We used that money. We lived on it the whole first year. And I look back on it now and what God has done with 140 churches now. And the amount of people, the salvations that we counted up over the last 31 years is over 280,000 people have come to Christ. And I look at that. Yeah, it's amazing. I look at that and I think, that man, when he gave that gift, had no idea the magnitude of what that one gift would do. Now, It could be something not as large as that. It could be something small. When we, 11 years later, we came over here, and Anna and I, we were in Hawaii Kai, and we were looking to buy a house, but we didn't have any money. And by this time, we had three kids. Abby had been added to our tribe, and we were saying, we just need to get a house, but we have no money. So we said, we need to pray, and just then Abby left. And I thought, well, okay. She was about 7, I think. I can't remember, honey, but... She came back, and she had some coins and bills in her hands. She said, Daddy, here. And what she had done is she'd scraped together all of her savings out of her piggy bank. It was about $7.38, if I remember correctly. And she said, here, Daddy, now you can buy a house. That ignited my faith so much that I put that in an envelope and sealed it, and 20 years later, I still have that. Because it reminds me that I need to have a faith like a child. And I look back on that one gift, and it just helped me so much. It could be a small gift like that. But you see, when you give, it blesses others, and you have no idea what God's gonna do. And then it comes back. I was just at breakfast the other week, Scott knows, over at Original Pancake, and I was having breakfast with this guy, and we were working through some stuff, and it was some tough things, and we prayed, and after breakfast, the waitress came by, and I said, could I get the check? She said, oh, there was a man sitting right over here that was listening to you, and he asked if he could pick up your tab. And I thought, wow. If I would have known that, I would have ordered more. But it always comes back. And when you give, that's just a joke. Now, don't put that on Facebook or anything. But listen carefully. What you give to God's work here, it blesses others. Because when you give here, see these kids that were up here, we get to keep training them. We get to have classes for them in manners or in music, in character, in poise, in self-confidence. When you give to the work of God here, our counseling department can continue to counsel those that are distressed or discouraged or someone that's grieving or lost a loved one. Ministry continues. It blesses people. Last year alone, over 1,000 people received Christ in this place. See, that continues. Can I issue you a challenge to start by developing that spirit of generosity by doing this? Start by being willing to just give gifts to people, small ones. I mean, like buy somebody's coffee and there's some homeless that live in the area. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to challenge you to put a line item down on your budget, maybe $10 to start with. Just $1 bills, keep them in your wallet or purse. And when you see someone that's in need, go help them. I mean, I was just at Safeway, and there was a man that came up, and you could tell he didn't have a home, and he was sharing about how he had lost a loved one. He was looking for somebody and just disappeared. And he had been robbed and didn't have any ID. So I said, let me pray for you, man. So we prayed right there by the deli case in Safeway. And I said, have you had breakfast yet? He said, no. So I pulled out $10 and I said, now you have. You go get some breakfast. And he just started crying. Said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And then I was over at 7-Eleven. I go to these places, you know, like 7-Eleven. And I just had a hunger for peanut M&Ms, you know? So I went in to get a package of peanut M&Ms, and this guy came in. You can see that he was homeless, and he saw my coat, and he said, hey! He started commenting on my coat. Hey, my brother has a coat like that, and I knew he was just making conversation. He had some fresh scars on his face, like he had gotten into an accident. And as we got to talking, I could tell that he was looking for some help. And right by the front, by the cashier, you know you have those hot dogs that roll on those hot rollers? He was looking at those, and I said, you want one of those? He said, man, I really would. So I pulled out $10 and I said, here, get yourself several of them. Oh, he said, God bless you, God bless you. I said, no, God is blessing you today because he loves you. Don't ever forget that. And you never know what's going to happen. That maybe someone else saw that. Maybe God's going to do something. Oh, I got to tell you this. I was sharing this last service, hour and a half ago. This guy runs up to the front and starts yelling. And of course, our ushers are big. You know, they came, took him out. And I looked, and it was the guy that I had given $10 to at Safeway. He came to church just last service. And I said, I'll see you right after. And I went out back. He was waiting out there. And he said, and he doesn't know church etiquette, you know. He said, I just wanted to come and say thank you because I was the guy that you gave the money to. And I said, and you came to church. He said, I came to church. So you have no idea what God's going to do. It's not the act of giving, but it's what God can do and release in the process of giving. But if we shy away, we got the wrong thinking of generosity. Do you understand the amount of miracles that we may have forfeited or missed because of that? Oh, when you give, it blesses others. And then, would you write down number three, when we give, we are blessed. You think that boy was blessed to see Jesus turn his lunch into a huge buffet for 5,000 people? Absolutely. And so when we give to God, God says, you watch what I'm about to do, because you just released the storehouse of heaven. Malachi says that. Let's read it here in the scriptures. Go. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Hold on right there. Did you know that that's the only time in the scripture where God says, test me. Test me. He is so confident that you will see his blessings. He says, try it. Almost like, I dare you. Try it. Test me in this, says the Lord. You say, when he says bring the tithe into the storehouse, where is this? The storehouse is where you get your food or feeding from. And if this is your home church, this is where you get your spiritual feeding from. And when you give, it blesses people. It blesses God. And it blesses you. He says, test me. Test me. I cannot tell you how much God has blessed us when Anna and I first decided to tithe. Way back when we were a young couple, we decided to tithe. I look back and I wonder, not just money, but I wonder how many times God has averted an accident in my life. Maybe kept me from going over the edge in a temptation that would have destroyed my legacy, my family, the future, this church. I wonder how much God has averted what could have been a catastrophe. I look at my kids and they love God, and my grandchildren all love God. They're all worshipers, and I think, God, you've done so much. Now, we're not immune from problems or consequences, but God always brings the best out of it. And I look back and I think, yeah, I bet, Lord, you averted a lot of stuff. And he says that in Malachi. Let's keep reading. You'll see. Go. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Then I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. And the vines in the field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, saith the Lord. Can I encourage you to test God? In fact, if you will look at your bulletins, there's a paper like this, a blue one. And I want to challenge you to a 90-day challenge. A 90-day challenge. What's that? Some of you are already tithing, and I'm going to ask everyone to fill this out. But fill this out, and if you're already tithing, just make that mark that says, I'm tithing. But if you're not, I want to challenge you to try that for 90 days. Say, I'm going to, with all respect, test God, because he said to, invited us to, and I want to see what God can do. And I'm going to do this with all my heart, because I want to be more like him. I want God to develop character qualities in me that it's not the act, it's the process of that gets me to that act. There's so much there. Man, I need more likeness in my life. And God says he'll protect, He'll keep the pests from devouring our crops. And that just metaphorically says God's going to protect you. I need that. So I'm going to test him, as it were. And I want you to fill that out. And there's going to be at the end, just the bucket's going to come around. I want you just as an act of faith say, I'm going to do that, God. Here it is. I'm going to go for it. And let's just kind of try to do what the Bible says. Let's just try it and see what God does. I'm going to finish with a story, a true story, as you're filling this out. But this is told by an elderly man as he reminisces back to his early years in 1946. Story I think that'll touch your heart. It goes like this. He writes, I'll never forget the Easter of 1946. I was 14. My little sister Lily was 12 and my older sister Darlene, she was 16. My dad had died 5 years before, leaving mom with us kids to raise. But we were happy. We had one another. We had our church. It was a month before Easter when the pastor of our church announced that a special Easter offering would be taken up to help a poor family. He asked everyone to save and give sacrificially. Oh, we got excited. When we got home, we talked about what we could do. Mom decided that she could buy 50 pounds of potatoes and live on that for a month. This would allow us to save $20 from our food budget for the offering. And we said, hey, if we kept the electricity down and not used so many lights, well, we could save $10 off our electric bill. Then Darlene got as many house and yard cleaning jobs as possible, and she babysat for everyone she could. And at night, we'd sit in the dark and talk about how that poor family was going to enjoy the money that the church would give them. Now, we only had like 80 people in the church, but we figured that whatever amount of money we would give, the offering would surely be 20 times that much. I remember that month was one of the best months of our lives. We had so much fun. Then the day before Easter, we were all so excited, we could hardly sleep because we had gathered a total of $70 for that sacrificial offering. We could hardly wait to get to church. And when the offering was taken, Mom put in a $10 bill that we saved from the electricity. And each of us kids, three of us, we each put in a $20 bill. So that was a total of $70. We were so thrilled. We walked home after church. We sang all the way home. And at lunch, Mom had a surprise for us. She had bought a dozen eggs, and we boiled them like Easter eggs, and we had them with fried potatoes. Late that afternoon, the minister even drove up to our house in his car. We saw Mom go out to the door and talked with him for a moment, and then she came back into the house. We asked what it was all about, and she didn't say a word. But out of her purse, she took an envelope that he had given to her. He put it on the table and opened it, and there was a bunch of money. There was a $10 bill, three $20 bills, and 17 $1 bills. Mom put the money back in the envelope and put it back in her purse. We didn't talk. We just sat and stared at the floor. We had gone from feeling like millionaires to feeling like poor trash. I mean, we didn't have a lot of things, but we never thought we were poor. But that Easter, I guess we found out that we supposedly was that poor family. I didn't like being poor. That night we sat in silence for a long time. And all that week, no one talked very much. We didn't even want to go to church the next Sunday, but Mom said we had to go. That day was a nice day. So we walked to church and Mom started to sing, but nobody joined in. Nobody talked. We finally arrived at church, and there was a missionary speaker that Sunday, and he was sharing about how a church in Asia that had an orphanage that needed money to build an outdoor toilet and a shower, and he said $100 would give the children a bathroom. Our minister got up and said, please sacrifice so that we can help these people. We looked at each other, and for the first time that week, we started to smile because Mom still had that envelope in her purse. So Mom reached in her purse and pulled out the envelope. She passed it to Darlene. Darlene gave it to me, and I handed it to Lily, and Lily put it in the offering. And when the offering was counted, the minister announced that it was just a little over $100. The missionary speaker was so excited because he hadn't expected such a large offering from such a small church. And he stood up and said, you must have some rich people in this church. And it suddenly struck us. We had given $87 of those $100. We were the rich family in that church. Hadn't the missionary just said so? And from that day on, I've never been poor again. I've always remembered how rich I am because we have Jesus, and He showed us the way to be rich indeed. Isn't that a great story? So let me finish by saying, please, take that piece of paper and say, God, You're going to teach me how to be rich indeed. And I want to develop a spirit of generosity and start with changing my cul-de-sac into a conduit by being a people of the tithe. And I want to challenge you to that 90-day test and see what God can do. The blessings, the testimonies, and the stories, and the miracles that we'll be able to share one day. Let's stand together as we conclude in prayer, and then we're going to sing our final song, Hope is Alive. I want to say again, thank you to all of the parents of these children who have been dedicated. Would you again give these wonderful families a hand? Fabulous. Reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you, and let's pray. Father, thank you for our church family. Thank you for helping us to become more like you. And we thank you for the miracles in our midst. Thank you for Pastor Ricky and his granddaughter Jaden and all that you've done in their lives. We thank you for the wonderful parents here and the students that we have, the children, as you develop them to become young men and women of God. We pray again for the families of those Marines, God, that you would bring great grace to bear on them. And thank you for all that you're doing to help us to become a people that have a spirit of generosity. Because you are a giving God, and we want to become more and more like you. Thank you for the fact that we can get to make choices in that toward that end. Seal these things to our hearts, and we look forward to the miracles that will be released because we choose to put you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give him a clap offering? Go ahead. Thank you, Lord.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, A Generous God, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, music, DVDs, podcasts, and much more. That web address is enewhope.org. Again, that's www.enewhope.org. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.